This is Philip Bracey, and I'm interviewing Commissioner George Bendis, August the 4th, 1981, concerning the Youngstown Sheet and Tube shutdown and matters relating to the Mahoning Valley Economic Development Committee. Could we start with Mr. Bendis, if you would give us a little rundown of your background and how you got involved in politics?
Well, I am born and raised in the city of Youngstown. I live presently on the west side of Youngstown. I attended parochial school, Holy Name School, and Youngstown, Youngstown Cheney, west side, and high school. And I served in different other capacities, like in the Army, and I attended some technical school in the Air Force, and got a good broad view of some of the problems that we have in it, through this, my experience in the grocery business and all. I had a broad view of some of the things that are happening in this valley. I got into politics mostly, I guess, due to simple reason. I got interested, and I ever voted ever since I was at voting age, was 21, and that was during the Depression years, and of course there was no money around, and did a lot of little chores, what they did, the grassroots politicking, like putting signs up and putting placards up and distributing literature and see the people that register to vote and try to get as many people out to vote in their respective precinct. And I did that for many, many years, and until there happened to be a vacancy in the precinct committeeman, I guess the party seemed fit that I should seek that job as a committeeman in that the Democratic Party, and I served in that capacity for about 26 years, maybe 28. And through the work I did as a committeeman, I guess they seen fit that I should run for city council, and I was successful in that endeavor because of the backing of the party and the support I got from, and I was successful for four terms.
About what year did you first run for city council?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was the first year that you ran for city council?
Well, that was about 1958, around in there, yeah.
And you were elected for four terms?
Yeah, for four terms. And then I thought it expired. I looked for the county commissioner's job, and I took a figure. I said my chances looked pretty good, and I had some good responses from people throughout not only the city of Youngstown but out to the rural counties, and the simple reason because I was in a grocery business with my brother out in Austintown. I met many, many people over the last 10 or 12 years before I aspired to be a county commissioner, and I did put my hat in a ring, and after some very hard campaigning and met as many people as possible, and because I was facing an incumbent, and it was through the generosity of the voters of Mahoney County, they seen fit that maybe I should be elected a commissioner, and they elected me, and I'm here for my fifth term now. I'm my 17th year, and I got three years ago on my other year, so after this term I'll have 20 years as a county commissioner of Mahoney County.
How did you first hear about the shutdown of the Youngstown Sheet Tube?
Well, I worked in a steel mill after I come out of high school, worked in Ohio Works, and I worked in very different capacities there, as finally went up to be a loader foreman, a steel inspector, and everything else, you know. And I always found steel industry kind of fascinating work. I enjoyed the work I did there. And there was rumors way back then that this valley was going to be in trouble, but everybody lightly. And I, through my past experience working 14 years in a mill, I could see that the companies, even U.S. Steel, they did not compete with the competitors in modernization and coming up with new ideas and pumping money back into the steel industry, and I guess that not only happened here in the U.S. Steel thing, but also throughout the whole valley, I guess. See, we have an outdated, molded way of making steel. There was new ideas. The whole thing was a complete revolution and changing ideas how to make steel, and I guess we just got caught back in a bind that we had some old plants and no money was pumped in, and we couldn't compete with the modern technology of making steel, see? And no doubt that was a terrific blow to the valley, because with my knowledge and my working in a mill and all that, we were noted one time as one of the second largest steel producing centers in the country. And I think we were noted throughout the country as the Ruhr Valley of America. And we had some good steel makers here. They made good quality steel. And we progressed in that. But we have to be, for some reason or not, our leaders to be and all, I guess we kind of depended on the steel industry as a one industry town, and I guess it kind of caught up to us. There was not too many efforts way back to try to bring diversification into our valley for some reason. I guess they were figured steel was going to be here indefinitely, but it's not. And when they did close down these plants, no doubt there was a terrific economic loss to the valley. They lost $16,000 jobs. That set us back tremendously. We as a public officials are suffering right now because we have lost a terrific tax base. We're caught into inflationary periods and the price of living is going up. And now we have organized different organizations, and I happen to be sit on a couple of these groups, these organizations, to try to induce and encourage the diversification of our valley. No doubt, I think the steel industry, as a steel producing center, is gone. So I think our efforts are now have to be diverted into a diversification, and I have the utmost faith and confidence, I think, that we will come back, because we have a good road network, we have a good water supply, we have a good labor force, and we are in a central part, I think, of two major metropolises, I guess, between New York and Chicago. We are in the center, and I pointed out we have a good road network, good labor supply. We have some great advantages in this valley that will come back as a maybe diversified center of America. I think we could come back, but we won't have to depend just on steel. I think we have the labor forces here and all that. We could come back in a diversification. So our efforts are now is trying to diversify this valley and bring new industry, new business, new commercial development into this valley.
Were you invited to the, when they initially announced that the sheet and tube was going to be shut down, they had an initial meeting, I guess that was called that morning. Did you attend that meeting? And if you did not, how did you find out that they were going
to? No, I did not, was invited, nobody else. I don't know how this happened, but only I just heard it on the news media through the radio, television, and the newspaper. Yeah, but there was some rumor spread prior to that, that something drastic was going to happen in this valley, and nobody, you know, to pin it down. You know, yeah.
Okay. What were the first efforts that, or at least, how did you become involved in the Mahoning Valley what became the Mahoning Valley Economic Development Committee?
Well, there is a, under the part of Economic Development Administration, this is a federal program, there are monies that to be had. So we as leaders got together from the private sector. We have people from labor. We have businessmen, people in the financial field, and the public officials got together and figured that we could form a planning agency or an agency that would be a high-class agency that we could come out and come with a plan that we could bring new industry and new business in back in this valley. Of course, we had to have some guidelines, and through the Economic Development Administration, we made applications for a plan. And I think we hired one of the outstanding consulting firms in that field, is Patel Institute out of Columbus, where they do industrial development throughout the world. And they assisted us in coming out with a development plan. And this was approved by the Economic Development Committee. And now we are in business, see. Now, what the Mahoning Valley Economic Development Committee, what it does is mostly, it has a certain few steps, and I try to enumerate them to you, is a financial assistance, see. Now, the Mahoning Valley Economic Development has assisted numerous local firms in solving the expansion problems in a confidential manner. The assistance on financing, including loans, loan guarantees, grant bonds, and a coordination of the state and federal applications that are available to all local industry. And we have a revolving fund, loan fund, that Medvec operates and is very active and plays a very integral part in the financial assistance of many of these programs. We assist them also in site information, including the soil conditions, and the utilities, the highways, the accessibility, the topo maps, the zoning, aerial views, and other important data. And also, we give them site selections. You know, we give them the industry, once again, we give them a slight selections and assist them in evaluating the different sites. And we give them a system in a facility inventory, an information listing of all available industrial buildings that is maintained by Medvec. And we give them some community data, you know, able to present a broad picture of the area's advantages, including the geographic, financial, governmental, educational, and industrial, and other community facts. And they go through the federal grants. Medvec coordinates many of the local public works grants for the Trumbull and Mahoning County that are awarded by the Economic Development Administration. That's why I'm saying we're assisting many of these people if to get grants and loans and what they mean from the federal government. And we always give them assistance to industries interested in locating in the valley by providing all the above services and acting as a liaison between them, the local officials, and the state and federal agencies.
If I could back up a step. Did somebody recruit you to serve on the original, I think it was the, what do they call it, the Youngstown Task Force before it was Medvec? Were you called, or did you call somebody, or how did you become a member of
Well, no, this, the Board of Trustees include, like I told you, many community leaders from the public sector, the private, organized labor, and they have to have some elected officials from both Mahoning and Trumbull County, so I was picked by the Board of County Commissioners to represent Mahoning County. The city of Youngstown had representatives, Camel Struthers, same thing in Trumbull County. They have their commissioners and their other public officials that sit on this Board of Trustees. So it's the makeup by Patel Institute when they came, when they come up with this plan. That's what this is. What we had to have. This is what the committee had to be composed of. Yeah.
Development.
Yeah, Mahoney Valley Economic Development Committee.
But I mean, they had to put together a so-called SUDS plan or something like that. Okay, so, but the letter inviting you, though, to participate, or the county commissioners, came from Congressman Carney, from who originally contacted the commissioners to participate in MedVac?
Well, this was mostly put together by different, see, we had an agency, I guess it was before, it was what they call RITA, Western Reserve.
Bill Sullivan and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and for some reason, somehow, this agency, RITA, never approved, got approval from an economic development plan approved by the federal agency, so it was kind of stagnated. So we just took over from that other agencies and we formed this agency, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And a simple reason, because we wanted some good guidance, like I told you, that we wanted to get on the right track, and that's why we got a grant to put economic development plan together. We used some of the material that RITA had together, and we complied with the with the guidelines and regulations set down by the Department of Economic Development. So after we hired the Patel Institute to help us out preparing the economic plan, that we had to submit it to Chicago and then to Washington for review and acceptance. And once they approved our plan and what we intend to do and how we intended to do, we were eligible to help these people out, and like I say, getting loans and loan guarantees and bonds and coordinating all our applications between the state and federal government.
Was there any coordination or with the Ecumenical Coalition's efforts to, you know, buy the Sheep 2 plant? In other words, were they in contact with MedVac as far as...
They were, yeah. They in fact, some of those people from the coalition are members of MedVac right now, yeah. But when this organization was formed, it was a combination of many different agencies. Instead of having one or two or three or four or five agencies all through the county, we figure we have one, because then otherwise that was one of the prerequisites of the federal government. You have a strategy plan, one strategy plan, not five or six. Otherwise, I'm saying not you have the city of Warren would have one, and the Trumbull County would have one, the city of Youngstown would have, and Mahoney County would have one. So instead of having five or six different plans, they wanted one. And that's why we organized this organization. Yeah.
Was MedVac originally designed to be, like say for instance, once hopefully the goal of diversification takes place, is MedVac designed to be an ongoing program, or is it supposed to phase out somewhere down the line? Or, I mean, diversification is going to take a long time, but if, say, for instance, someday, 20 years from now or whenever, they reach a point where there is diversification, do you ever see a need for it to actually dissolve? I mean, or is it doing so much good that it's worth keeping in place?
Well, I could say MedVac, you know, is going to be, wanted to be an ongoing development agency, you know, because to expand this valley and industrial base and to approve it, we have to make contributions to this area as the years go by. Of course, we're still funded by the federal government. See? Now, we have a president right now, and I guess he's making some severe cutbacks. And what I see, what I read in the paper, there's many of these programs and all that, different loans and guarantees, grants and all that, that were come under economic development. The president's cutting back on many of these programs. So what effect this will have on this area if the federal government eliminates many of these programs, that has to be seen. But we've let, I think, Congress and even the president and all his administration know that we're in favor that Congress and the administration should not cut down this development plan, especially not in an area like we are, where we are an economically depressed area, because it means so much to this valley if we start curtailing some of the programs as set forth originally in the program.
Can I ask your opinion what you thought about the coalition's proposal about buying a steel plant? And did you really think that would work? Did you have any, I mean, personally?
Well, I wouldn't say they had the good idea, but the only thing, I guess they never had the finances, you know, because of buying it, because you just don't buy a steel plant and start to go into the producing steel and all, because then you have to have customers and everything else. You just don't go in it, because only they were shooting at a big $20 million loan from the federal government, and then there's another grant program that they thought would be possible, that they could buy this plant, but I guess it never materialized. Yeah, because they had not enough. See, any of these programs, there's a certain amount of local, or I could say, developers, or who's coming in of their own money in it. You know, they couldn't raise their own local share to what to get that 20 million was supposed to be. Yeah.
So. What about the? Did you see more hope for, let's say, the steel research center that was proposed? I think it was by Medbank, I'm not positive of that.
Yeah.
Did you, because I know in some instances you talked to some of the Washington people, didn't you? I mean, about the possibility of funding. Did you seem to get a positive feedback about the steel research center, say, as opposed to the coalition's project?
Well, no, the research center would be a great help to this valley. Anything of that nature would, because there, I think there's where all this new technology and new ideas coming out to making steel can be from these research labs, you know, see? And this would be a great boost here, because we'd still be a focal point of it, of making steel here, see? Yeah, so that would be a great boost to us, yeah. But some way, somehow, we didn't fare out too good in that. We tried to get it here, and some way, somehow, to the federal agencies and all, we weren't too successful in our application or something. Yeah, they just couldn't see our way of thinking, put it that way, yeah.
Is there anything about Medbank that I haven't asked you that I probably should have, or that you think is important that I didn't ask?
Yes, we just are going to approve a project. They approved many through the revolving fund, many projects coming in that maybe employed 100 people, 200, some of the retention of many jobs there by approving these grants and loans through this revolving fund. So we retained a lot of jobs, and we brought in thousands, maybe new jobs, you know, I should say. And this last month, now, there was a group that bought one of the mills in McDonald's, the 14-inch finishing mill. Now, they have bought that mill, and they're talking they want to expand their facilities more, and they're coming in through Medvac and asking for $1 million that they're talking about bringing a building their own, either electric furnace or oxygen type furnace, have a continuous casting, and they could supply their own semi-finished material to operate this mill. Now, they're operating this mill at the present time, but they're getting the semi-finished mill in from West Steel from the Pittsburgh District to operate this mill. And they're looking forward that if they could, we approve this project, that they bring a type of a new furnace, might be electric furnace or BOF furnace, have a continuous casting, and the great possibility that they're going to open up maybe 3 or 4 other of these finishing mills. So that's going to bring back maybe 500 or 600 new jobs, bring them back in this valley, see? So those are the things that Medvac is doing, yeah.
Is Medvac intentionally looking for the smaller firm, let's say a few hundred, as opposed to like 5 or 6 thousand like the old steel, so that there's no impact like there was with the shutdown of Sheet 2?
No, we have no thing. If we have 100 jobs, 200 jobs, we encourage them to come in here, because that's what we're talking about, diversification.
But I mean, like the old situation, 5,000 or 6,000 jobs.
Yeah. Well, hopefully that we could induce somebody like that, yeah. Yeah, but as long as we get in, you know, 100 to 200 jobs, whether it is, come there, that's the first, I think that's the first path in our diversification, bring a new industry, a new business to the valley. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you for taking the time this morning, this afternoon, more accurately.
Yeah.
Thank you.